Hello everyone, Neil Patel here. Welcome to the Indian Startup Show, episode 11. Today we are joined by Kavita Kapoor, who is the author of a brand new book called Kabhi Kashi Kabhi Kaam. For the last 15 years, Kavita has been working with UK and Indian organisations and is really passionate about developing potential in others. And this is her first ever book. It's a result of an extensive mentoring programme over the last 3 years. The book helps young professionals who are struggling with what to do with their lives. If that's you, then Kavita has the answers. We talk about a wide range of subjects from our experiences of leadership and mentorships, working in India and in the UK, what makes a good boss, what happens if your boss is not really good, her side projects, blogging, entrepreneurship, to women in tech. So please enjoy the show. Hello, Kavita. Hope you're well.
I am indeed. Thank you.
Excellent. Could you tell me a little bit about yourself and your new book?
First of all, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you.
It's a great pleasure. Yes, absolutely. I am a... best way to describe me at the moment is an entrepreneur and a deviser of startups. I'm looking after a series of startups here in the UK, including What's My Size. And I'm also looking after a bunch of startups out in India at the moment, which is very exciting indeed. I started life as a developer. I then became an applications architect, working at places like the BBC. And most recently, I have been working out in India, looking after Iris Worldwide, looking after the digital team in Gurgaon, which was a real experience. And in between all of that, I was at London 2012. So I've kind of had a varied career. And I've been looking at my career and looking at the stories and helping mentor young people, especially in my own teams in India and in Singapore, and thinking that, you know, there aren't enough stories to amplify successes that people are having out in Asia at the moment. We get all these management consultancy books out from the West, but actually they aren't as interesting as the stories that I'm hearing in Delhi today. And I also came across a lot of young people who are incredibly confused about their future. Enormously confused. They'd done the engineering degree that their parents had told them, or they'd found a job in banking because their mother had told them.
Okay. Or a doctor.
Or a doctor, obviously, and all the other stereotypes in between. And that wasn't their passion. It wasn't what they were interested in. They actually were genuinely interested in, I don't know, testing software or creating a food business or, like many of the entrepreneurs on your show, that over the last 10 episodes, I mean, you know, they just had something completely different they wanted to do. So I started writing a book, which is now titled Kabhi Kushi, Kabhi Kaam, which is just about how do I create a career that I love. The advice, what I really love is the first chapter is about not taking any advice. So it's an advice book. Where we actually explain how not to take advice. I think in a country where you have so much gyan, you get so much material about what you should and shouldn't be doing. It's really about how to break down the advice you're getting, how to analyze it, how to filter it, and then actually how to figure out what your passion points are.
Good.
Then once you're in the world of work, it's about how do you... get into the corporate ladder, how do you start making decisions, how do you see your bosses making decisions, and what kind of organization you want to get into. Is it an MNC? Is it many, many layers? Is your boss in three different countries, you know, before you can actually get to the top decision maker? Or do you want to be in a startup where you're the main decision maker?
Yeah. Interesting stuff. So I'm just looking at the stuff that you sent me, and it says that currently 90% of jobs you could do are in the unorganized sector.
Oh, that really surprised me.
Mainly cash in hand. So that's really surprising.
Well, remember, 70% of India is still rural and in the agricultural industry. So that's seasonal work, and they will definitely be cash in hands. So that kind of takes a large proportion of that number out of the equation anyway. You've got that next equation, which is the people who are, you see them all the time, the Dhobi Wallahs and your taxi Wallahs and all those kind of people who are probably not on a structured payroll. And that obviously is a large percentage. But if you think about it in a reverse terms, that means that 3% of people are paying taxes, which probably means that 3% are on organized payrolls. Of which, you know, the total 10% means that there's a large proportion of people who are probably on small companies mm-hmm. where they're not paying payroll to tax. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your parents might be telling you, hey, you want to join an MNC and go and work for Google or whatever it mm-hmm. is. But actually, the percentage of people who are doing that, the percentage of people who could give you advice to do that is incredibly small mm-hmm. in India. Mm-hmm.
So it's been about 5 years since I last visited India. So obviously there's been a lot of changes. Let's say I read this book. I mean, what are the main takeaways from the book, would you say?
Yeah, I think the first thing is about how to analyse the advice you're getting. You're being bombarded at the moment with other people's stories, successes. You know, should we all leave and go to Silicon Valley? On the other side...
Let's join the gold rush.
The gold rush. But you've also got musicians who are like going onto Coke Studio and becoming enormously famous, you know, backing singers who are getting more recognition for being pure musicians out in Mumbai. Mm-hmm. So I think there's all, so the first thing is about just breaking down the advice you're getting and then saying, hey, this is actually what I want to do. The second chapter is all about what you were asking me about, which was about how 90% of the country is in the unorganized sector, which means effectively freelance. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, if you're a Bollywood actor, you're effectively in the unorganized sector because you're a freelancer going from movie to movie. You know, what differences does that make in the kind of advice that you're going to get?
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
We talk a little bit about whether you really want to stay in education. Only 1% of the population that goes to university then goes on to do a PhD.
Right.
And we look at the reasons for that and what that would give you.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the third and fourth chapter is all about what kind of organization you should end up with. And here we just kind of assume that, you know, we're talking about working organizations with many corporate layers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we talk, and this is my favorite bit, we start talking about bosses.
Okay.
And how do you pick bosses?
Okay.
You know, India's gone through this amazing transition. It used to be quite a socialist, you know, we obviously have pre-partition, pre-independence, which obviously has hierarchical military organizational structures.
Mm-hmm.
And corporations that come from that period remain so.
Yeah.
And then you go into the new area of quite socialist, where people are creating work for work's sake,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, also created bloated organizations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the sort of deregulation of post-1991
mm-hmm.
and the explosion, an absolute explosion in MNCs coming through from abroad, new brand, and they're trying to do two things. You've got people like Tesco's who are trying to work with cheaper labor.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously these are jobs that might move around, you know, to other cheaper locations in the world.
Cool. In your opinion, what makes a good boss then?
Oh, in my opinion, my favorite example is where the leader of the space program a number of years ago, I've forgotten his name right now, he was, they put a program, it was a space program to get to Mars. It didn't go very well, and the first iteration failed.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the second and third iteration had been incredibly successful. But where it failed, the Uber boss of that program, he got on stage and he took full blame.
Okay.
When it was successful, he stepped back and he let his management team look off, you know, take the glory. And I think that makes an incredibly great leader.
Mm-hmm. What happens if your boss is not very good then? What advice would you give that person?
That's a really good question. We've been looking at mentors as well. So mm-hmm. how do you, first of all, find other people to mentor you? You know, you need a wider group of people at work than just your boss.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And actually creating a group of people who would look after your what's the word, trajectory through the organization.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we've talked about in the book is moving departments as well. One of the great things about working in a larger organization is how do you then negotiate through so that you can move career. one of my favourite things about India at the moment is most people are moving jobs every year to 18 months, mm-hmm. which actually provides quite a lot of fluidity within the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And then we look at techniques in managing and containing your boss. So in terms of things like writing all the advice down, making sure that you have, a paper trial mm-hmm. so that people, you don't get actually caught out.
Good stuff. Do you think that people around the world want to be bosses? Surely it's a lot easier just to follow a person.
Yeah, there's a book by a Mumbai writer who talks about all bosses are dictators. I think his name's Dhruv, if you want to look it up. I'll send you the link.
So yeah, please do.
To the website. Mm-hmm. I think that... some people do. I meet a lot of people who really just want to be their own boss. They don't have a business idea. Mm-hmm. They don't really have a kind of passion or a reason for their product to exist. They kind of just know that they want to, they want to just be their own boss. Mm-hmm. But for those people, they're probably better off freelancing. That's the one thing I've seen. People who've got skills, they're yep. great writers, or they're great mentors, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Or they're really good at some kind of art or craft. It's, not everyone has to create a business.
Cool.
You better have a service.
Excellent. So, you've done a lot in your career. What's been the highlight so far?
Oh, highlights. It has to be London 2012. Okay. I was born in London. Right. My parents are Indian, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. but I've travelled the globe with them. My dad was an early pioneer in the computer industry, and like good Indians, they moved countries every 2 to 3 years doing that. But London seems to be the place I've ended up as home, mm-hmm. And I come back to very, very frequently. So the opportunity to work on something that has a global perspective mm-hmm. on a single location is absolutely amazing.
Excellent. Cool. Why did India do so badly in the 2012 Olympic Games then?
Sports is something that I'm really interested in India, actually. Yeah. I've been looking at something called Kalari Kites, which is my startup. I'm mm-hmm. just experimenting with a lean startup, and it's a sportswear company.
Right. How's that going?
It's really interesting, actually. I built the whole thing in 12 hours.
Oh, wow.
And I've been promoting it since, and I've done another 12-hour lean cycle. And what we did was we followed the Indian tennis players at the US Open, mm-hmm. knowing full well that Sania Mishra would, sweep the boards, which she totally did.
Yeah.
She won the doubles, women's doubles, which was great. So going back to your question, I think that sports in India is quite skewed. I also used to work with Adidas out in India, and sports is very skewed, or used to be very skewed, to just playing cricket, mm-hmm. obviously, within streets, and very male. That's the other thing about it.
Will it be like an e-book then, or are you looking to self-publish, or will it be an audiobook? How will you market this book?
So I originally thought I was going to go through a publisher, and that might still happen in the long term.
Yeah.
As it happens, my cousin, Tanvi Kapoor, is an ex-Penguin person, so she's been advising me.
Okay.
But I've got to the point where I really want to self-publish. Mm-hmm. I'm massively excited designed my own book cover, which was very exciting. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to be such an easy task.
Okay.
I really am interested in having it on Flipkart. We were talking offline. Mm-hmm. When you write a book, you really want to see it in people's hands, being bought in, CP on the streets. So I definitely am really keen to get that done. So I think I'm going to work with a self-publishing company to do that. Mm-hmm. The big thing to think about is who creates your ISBN and who does your copyright. And so I still need a company to do that part.
Mm-hmm.
And I still need a company to print the books and warehouse it, because I don't really want to do that out of my bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Sounds exciting. I mean, this is your first book, right?
It is completely my first book. Very excited.
And when do you think it'll be published?
I'm aiming for the 15th of January, because we're doing a series of TEDx's at the end of January. So just to give a shout out to Bits Palani, who have invited me along. So I'm hoping to have it ready for that.
So will you be going to India to promote this book then?
Yes, I should be out in India in December and January of this year.
Away from the cold weather.
Yes,
away very, from very cold strategic.
I think my ideal lifestyle would be living in India over this winter and somewhere else over the summer.
That's what my mum and dad do. They spend, yeah, they've actually left today, so I won't see them for 6 months now.
Amazing lifestyle. Yeah,
lucky them.
Exactly.
What books do you read then?
That's a really good question. I read a lot more online. So I do read things like The Economist, The Spectator, that kind of thing online. TechCrunch. I'm now listening to your podcast most closely as well.
Round of applause.
And your story. I think your story is fabulous for just getting really interesting insights for what's happening in India today. In terms of, I've been so focused on my own book. I've just been reading management books all year. So economists, Drew's book, as I was saying, about terrible bosses. I still like fiction books as well. So
good stuff. You said you went to India. I mean, what's your earliest memories of India?
Oh, wow.
Good, bad.
I think as a child, I hated India, to be honest. As a person that comes back. So we did a lot. I actually lived there. I lived there when I was four for 6 months while my visas were sorted out for the Middle East. And I remember, really disliking it. The food, the culture, the differences.
The noise.
And just being a spoiled brat. But over the years, I've fallen in love with India. I really have. I love the energy, the passion, the people, the optimism. I'm really enjoying the new wave of culture as well. I think what's happening at the moment with food, music and arts is also enormously exciting. And I think radicalism as well, activism within the ground. I love the passion of young people who are actually asking for changes within what is actually a huge country.
Yeah.
It's a billion people with people at every different stages of life development.
Mm-hmm. So you've worked in offices in India and in the UK. I mean, what are the sort of main cultural differences?
My main favourite difference is that in India, someone serves you tea. And I love it. I love having someone just turn up with my cup of tea and I don't actually have to make it myself.
You don't have to go to the machine.
No machine. Oh, machines. More seriously, I think... the difference between hierarchy bothers me. So the inability to be able to just go up to the boss and say, hey, I didn't like that decision, or have you thought about this decision? So it's something that, that fluidity of being to be respected as an equal, regardless of your age, gender, etc. I think that's something that really needs to change within all organisations across the globe, but specifically in the ones that I've been working in.
Good stuff. Last couple of questions then. For someone who is interested in writing their own book, what advice would you give them?
Just do it. Mm-hmm. I think I faffed around. I didn't focus. I ended up writing it over a year. Mm-hmm. I probably only wrote for 25% of that time. And actually now I look back on it, I'm just I could have written that in 3 months and be there. So I think, just actually, it doesn't matter how rubbish it is, just sit down and write it. And then most of getting it right is in the editing process. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be my first advice. My second advice is do your marketing, focus on a target market. I originally focused it on people like me, or people like us, where we're traveling back and forth between India and here, and thinking about what's going on. But actually, targeting it on young people who were already asking me advice gave me a ready-made market. So it was much easier for me to say, hey, sign up for my book. It's coming out very soon. You know, don't ask me for advice on LinkedIn. Tell me what we should be how we should be helping you, what books we should be reading. And that has, I've already got a database of people that I'm going to contact once the book is ready. So hopefully one of two of them will buy it.
And you've also got a website as well. I mean, what's that about?
So you mean my blog?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so my blog is just kavitakapoor.org, and I've been writing that for a long time. I think sometimes as a woman we forget to really sit back and highlight some of our achievements. And I say that as a woman specifically because I think that we're worse in it. But I think men also have that as well. I think we don't reflect enough. And so my blog was my own ability. And I'm very open. If you go back to the early dregs of my blogs, I'm a terrible writer. I'm embarrassed by some of it. But you can see what I like about it is over the last 10 years of having that, there's been an evolution of what I've been writing about, what I've been thinking about. It's as random as I am. So sometimes I talk about changes in the tax system in the UK. But mainly I talk about ideas that are coming my way about or bits of code that I've been hacking together.
Okay. So obviously tech, women in tech, quite a big issue these days. What are your thoughts? Has tech failed women, do you think?
Tech failed women? That's a really interesting question.
It's just because every time I go to like developer conferences or meetups, there's pretty much 99% men there.
So specifically on your question, no, women use tech way more than guys. I mean, they play games online more. They interact. If you look at the stats from Sky and Tata Sky as well of who's doing online gaming on the set-top boxes.
Yeah.
It's definitely predominantly women. So, I mean, women are consuming tech and using it, but as you said, they're not building it. They're not out there. And I think that's to do with, I did something interesting in the last few weeks. I looked at my own bias. You know, it's all very well me being a woman saying, oh, everyone should be a developer, blah, blah, blah. I actually went and had a look. If you go online, there's lots of like bias tests. Take one.
Okay.
I took one. And I was really surprised. I am completely gender neutral for most things. LGBT rights, color of skin, that kind of thing. But when it comes to jobs for genders, I have a slight bias towards arts for women, tech or engineering for men.
Okay.
And that's, you know, and I'm a woman who started out as a developer, one of 70 people, both of my, so I was one of 10 women on my 70-person graduate, and I was one of 3 women in a tech team when I first started training, you know, so I shouldn't have this bias, but I too have it. So I think that it isn't failing us. I think that women are just not, they're just not attracted to the industry for a wide variety of reasons. And so I think for me, I'm really excited about working with people like Tech Mums, who are a great charity here in the UK, working in India in hack teams. I've been doing quite looking at Grace Hooper conference as well, which is the big technology conference, just to make sure that we inspire as many women to join the industry. Because frankly, we just don't have enough developers, full stop.
Yeah,
doesn't matter what gender they are.
Cool. Last two questions. Let's say someone wants to become an entrepreneur. What advice would you give them?
Great question. Do your research. Think with entrepreneurs. You know, I read a really interesting thing when I was pretending to be a filmmaker many, many years ago. And the book started with, if you need therapy, filmmaking is not the place. And I've come across that in entrepreneurships as well. Look very deeply about why it is that you want to create this business. And that shouldn't stop you. If what you've decided is you want to be your own boss or you want to work less hours than your corporate job, those are perfectly valid reasons. Yeah. But build that into your business model. Don't suddenly dive into a 60-hour, all-consuming product that mm-hmm. will take you forever to realize its potential. If you want to be uber rich, you know, think about the exit points. That's kind of... And also, my biggest takeaway at the moment is to genuinely look at the stories. I think that we are very focused on success stories out there, mm-hmm. and we don't look very closely at failure stories. Mm-hmm. You know, I failed many, many times in many different mm-hmm. guises, but we just don't talk about it because, and when we do talk about it, I feel like it's not really taken seriously because you then go on to the next thing.
Good stuff. Last question then. If someone wants a copy of the book, what must they do? How do they get hold of it?
Great. So at the moment, the best way to do that is to come to kavitakapoor.org, traverse through to the book button at the top of the page and sign up. There's a little sign up form on that page. As soon as it's out, we will email you. If you go there after the book is out, it will have links to the various platforms that I hope to be selling on, which is Amazon and Flipkart.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Kavita, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Excellent. I look forward to reading the book. So that's Kavita. And if you'd like to know more about the book, you can go to our website, kavitakapoor.org. That's the end of the show. If you liked it, then please leave a rating and a review of the show. Just search for the Indian Startup Show on iTunes. If you have any feedback for me, please email me, hello@neilpatel.co, or go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Thanks and goodbye.